I can't take a heart that's broken and make it over again. I know a man who can. I can't take a soul that's sin sick, wash it white, white as snow. But I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. And if you think that no one loves you and your life is out of hand, I know a man who can. I can't walk upon the water, I can't calm a raging sea, but I know a man who can. I can't cause blind eyes to open or make the lame to walk again, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. And if you think that no one loves you and your life is out of hand, I know a man who can. And if you think that no one loves you and your life is out of hand, I know a man. I know a man who can.
Yes. Well, amen. And I'll just amen that song because I do too. And I know a man that can change your life today. Say, when did all this happen? Long time ago. But this man that can change your life has been from the beginning of time. And he chose to come to an old, wicked, filthy earth, a world where he'd be treated ugly, vile, evil. He did it all for you and me. I can't comprehend that. I will be able to comprehend it one day, but I can't comprehend that right now. But thank God that he did. Take your Bible, Proverbs 16, Proverbs 20, and Psalm 51. And there's going to be a common word here that I want you to circle. Proverbs 16, Proverbs 20, and Psalm 51. Ah, doesn't that sound good, the turning of Bible pages? We're just going to take just a minute and listen. Sounds good. All right, let's stand together. Proverbs 16, Proverbs 20, and then Psalm chapter 51. Proverbs 16, verse number 2. All the ways of a man are clean. That's the word I want you to focus on. I want you to circle the word clean. All the ways of a man are clean or rid of unsightly matter. They're all clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. Now that's important. Because did you notice it says the ways, all the ways of a man are clean without unsightly matter, without contamination, without pollution in his own eyes. Because you say, why did God record that? Because, you know, we all think we're pretty good people. We all think, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad lad. I'm not a bad teenager. I'm not a bad kid. And yet the Scripture says all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Think about the word clean while we go to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean. There's the word again. I am pure from my sin. He says, tell me anybody that can clean their own heart and purify themselves from sin. Well, I can answer that question right now. He just sung about it. There's only one that can do that. You cannot do it yourself. He says, so the question is asked, who can say, I have made my heart clean? And then go, if you would, to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse number 10. The great man of God, David, speaking here, and he makes this statement in verse 10. He said, create in me. Stop. God's the only one that can create things. Did you hear me? I said, God's the only one that creates. You can't create anything. He said, create in me a clean heart. Remember in Proverbs 20? Who can say that they have or could clean their own heart up? He said, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I want to take these three verses this morning, and I want to speak to you on this thought. Come clean with God. Come clean with God. You know, so many of us here, we think that God doesn't know what we're into and what we're up to and what we're thinking and what's going on. Can I say that we serve such an incredible God that He can, everybody in this congregation, He knows what you're thinking simultaneously and is able to assimilate it all at the same time. You think, man, wow, that's quite a God. Yeah, and can I say He knows what's going on in your life. So don't we just come clean this morning? Because He already knows. Father, bless us now. Thank You for the privilege of coming to church. Open our heart, we pray, Spirit of God, and we'll give You all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Let me ask you, when you think of the word clean, do you think of something maybe free from dirt or free from impurities? Now, if you do think that way, then you're right on with the subject line this morning today. The word clean literally means free of pollution. It means free of contamination. It means rid of unsightly manner. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand this morning, but I want to ask all the ladies in here, how many of you love a clean home? Don't raise your hand. You like a clean home. You like things dusted. You like things nice and proper, free of contamination, free of unsightly manner. You like that. That's what the word clean means. You see, pollution or unsightly manner like dirt. How about this, lady? How about cobwebs in the corner? Can I say, you know what dirt and cobwebs do to a home? What they do is they hinder the beauty of it. And they cause a malfunction in operation and performance if something has pollution or contamination in it. Now, I don't think there's any lady in here that would like a filthy, dirty home that's all dusty and cobwebs everywhere. You say, well, I do. Well, you've been watching too much of the Addams Family then. You know, we just recently finished up pretty much. Now, there's still some types of hunting going on right now, but for the most part, most of the hunting season is over. And so I've got all of my guns and things now, and it's time to clean them. Now, you guys that hunt and own guns, you understand what I'm talking about. It's time to clean up the guns. You see, firing a rifle or a shotgun or even a handgun, what it does, it leaves a residue in the barrel. That residue has to be clean, because if I don't clean it and I let it stay, then what I'm going to do next year is it's going to hinder the performance of my weapon next year if I leave it alone and let it go. You see, I don't clean my hunting weapons and allow the residue buildup to increase from year to year. I have to clean them every year. You say, well, you know what? I'll just change the oil in my car about once a year. I'll change the oil in my car twice a year. Now, you know what? You might better change it a little bit more often than that, because it's going to hinder the performance of your vehicle. Just like if I leave the residue in the barrel of my rifle, it's going to cause rusting. It's going to cause inaccuracy. It's going to hinder the performance of my weapon. Listen to me now. And it's going to shorten its life. It's going to shorten its life. So cleaning is essential to the performance of the service of my guns. Now listen, I've got them. I've got rifles. I've got shotguns. I love that. I go out to the shooting range. I love that kind of stuff. But you know what? If I allow them to continue to be contaminated and I allow the pollution to remain in the barrel, I won't have them very long. And they won't function like I want them to function very long. You see, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that my weapons have to come clean. If they are to perform like I desire them to perform. Let me draw you some biblical analysis of this and let you know that, hey, there's some people in the Bible who came clean with God. Now you say, preacher, how do you know it's clean? Boy, when I clean those things out, I can get that barrel and I can take it and put it up to the light. And I mean, it's just like a spotlight coming down that barrel. You know what I know? This one's right. This one's, I've got oil just right. This is right. And I lay that thing back in its case and I kiss it on the cheek and shut the case and say bye-bye until next season. And it says bye to me. Now what I'm saying is there are some people that came clean with God in the Scriptures and benefited from it. Can I say first of all that in Exodus chapter 3, Moses came clean with God. When you find him back on the backside of the desert in Midian, you find him there. He sees what seems to be a glowing, and he doesn't know what it is, so he approaches it and finds out it's a burning bush. But you know the unusual thing about this burning bush? It's not being consumed. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. And there at that burning bush, Moses came clean with God. God says, I have a plan for your life. Moses said, I'm sorry, I can't fulfill it. You don't understand, I'm not your guy. I'm not the guy that can do this. I'm not the guy that can carry out this plan. God says, no, because of that, you are the guy. And you know what? Moses had to come clean with God. Listen to me. And when he came clean with God, you know what it resulted in? He led the people of God out of Egyptian bondage. But he had to come clean first. David, we read here in Psalm 51 in our passage just a moment ago, David had to come clean with God. David had gotten mixed up in an adulterous relationship with a woman by the name of Bathsheba. And he understood, if my life is going to amount to anything, if my life is going to count for God, I'm going to have to come clean with God. I'm going to have to open up and come clean with Him. And let me tell you something, he did. And I want you to look, if you're still there in Psalm 51, look at verse 13. Verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart. Look at verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, listen now, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You see, he couldn't say that if he hadn't come clean. Because people who hold back on God, people who refuse to acknowledge these things before God, listen, they're not concerned about souls. They're not concerned about people being converted to the Lord. So I know David came clean because he said, you know what? Now sinners will be converted unto thee. Let's move to the New Testament. Remember Luke 19, there's a man by the name of Zacchaeus. We teach this to our kids. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. And you know what he saw? He saw the man that could change everything about his life. Now, the thing about it is, you think when he climbed up in that sycamore tree that he anticipated he was about to have an encounter with the Son of God? No, it didn't dawn on him at all. He just wanted to see what was going on. And Jesus stopped and saw him, called him down out of the tree. Listen to me. And Jesus went to his house. He says, so what's the big significance, preacher, of Jesus going to this man's house? Because that's not only where he got saved, that's where he came clean. He came clean with God at his house. You say, well, how do we know? Well, first of all, he was a tax collector. And when he's a tax collector, he said, here's what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to give half of all my goods to the poor. Boy, he really got saved, didn't he? He says, I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. And he said, I am going to restore four times what I've stolen from the people in town. Boy, he got a dose of salvation, didn't he? But you know what? Go check me out. That's where he came clean with God. He came clean with God there after he got saved. And he came clean and said, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor and I'm going to give back four times what I've taken from people. John chapter 3, we find a man by the name of Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. And you know, there in that little setting, while Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, you know what happened there? Nicodemus came clean with God. He came clean about his religion because, listen to me, if you're putting faith and trust in religion, my friend, that's not salvation. If you're putting faith, if any faith at all, in baptismal waters, that's not salvation. If you're putting any faith at all in church membership, that's not salvation. You know what Nicodemus had to do? He had to come clean. That it wasn't religion that saved you. It wasn't his education that saved him. Hey, he knew now it wasn't religion that was the way of eternal life. But you know what it had to come to? He had to come clean with God. And when he did, he came to Jesus. The Apostle Peter, John 21. Many of you know the life that Peter lived. You see, isn't it amazing how that we think of the Apostle Peter and the first thing normally that comes to people's mind, oh, he's the guy that denied Jesus three times. You say, oh, yep, that's him. That's the guy. He denied Jesus three times. He's a sorry guy. He's a sorry Christian. Well, be careful before you start pointing fingers at other people and calling them sorry Christians. Hey, at least in John 21, when Jesus called him on the carpet, you know what he did? He came clean. And he says, you know what? The Lord says, lovest thou me more than these? Oh, Lord, you know. Lovest thou me more than these? Did it three times. And Jesus and Peter came clean with God. Listen to me. And after he did that, you read just a few chapters later, Pentecost happens. That would not have happened if he hadn't come clean with God. So he laid it all out there. He came clean about his life. And now he preaches and over 3,000 people come to Christ and are baptized and added to the church. Acts chapter 9. There's a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Hated Christians. Hated the church. Persecuted the church. And he was on his way with papers to Damascus to arrest Christians. And on his way there, he had an encounter with Jesus. You know what happened on that road to Damascus? Came clean. God knocked the fire out of him. He's down on his face. God said, it's tough to kick against the pricks, isn't it, Mr. Saul? He said, yes, Lord, what do you want from me? You're the Lord. You're the God. I know you are. You know what happened on that day to Damascus? On that road to Damascus? Saul of Tarsus got born again. He came clean with God. And can I say to you, the rest is history. You say, what's so tough about that guy? I tell you what's so tough about that guy. You and I probably wouldn't even have the gospel if it wasn't for that guy. The gospel probably wouldn't even come to America if it had not been for the Apostle Paul coming clean with God. There on his face before God on the Damascus Road, he found Jesus. But I'm sad to tell you this morning, there are some people in Scripture that didn't come clean with God. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 9, speaks of a man by the name of Cain. Cain came before God with an offering that he had presented himself. And God rejected his offering. Cain got upset because he had accepted the offering of his brother Abel. Well, we know in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 9, that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him, killed his own brother, over the fact that God had accepted his offering and rejected Cain's. God sent Cain away because Cain didn't come clean. God said, you'll be a vagabond in the earth. Genesis 19, we move a little bit further. We find a man by the name of Lot. Can I tell you, Lot never came clean with God. Created two children that persecuted the people of God all through Scripture. Lot never came clean with God. His family was destroyed because of it. We don't find him when he came out of Sodom falling on his face and repenting before God. Never came clean. You know what it cost him? It cost him his wife and his kids. Samson in Judges chapter 16 never came clean with God. Always about him. It was always about what he wanted. You say, preacher, what did it cost him? He got captured, had both of his eyes poked out. Was nothing more than a slave for the rest of his life because Samson never came clean with God. King Saul never came clean with God. You know where he ended up? He ended up just prior to his death seeking counsel from a witch. And he was the king over the people of God. Getting counsel from a witch, he was paranoid and eventually committed suicide. You know why? Because he never came clean with God. Agrippa, Acts chapter 26. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know what? He almost came clean, didn't he? But you know what? There's going to be a lot of people in hell that almost came clean. There's going to be a lot of people without God that almost came clean. You see, time fails me, church, to mention the stories of the rich young ruler, or Caiaphas and Annas. Can you imagine slapping God and spitting in his face? Never came clean. Never came clean with God. How about old Pontius Pilate? You know how close he was? That close. He was in Jesus' face. He said, Are you really him? He said, yeah. You say, yeah, you're right. Hey, listen, all the warnings, even from his own wife, said, listen, you don't need to mess with this just man. He ran all the stop lines. You know what? As far as I know, Pontius Pilate in hell never came clean. Judas Iscariot, how close do you think he was to salvation? About that close. He ate with Jesus, walked with Jesus, but can I tell you something? He's in hell today. You say, why, preacher? Why is that? Never came clean with God. Never came clean. And I'm here to tell you, listen to me this morning, please listen to me. You and I, if we're going to serve God as a child of God and be what God wants us to be, we're going to come clean with God. If you have any hope of eternal life with God in heaven someday, you're going to have to come clean with God this morning. Got too many people playing games. Hey, folks, we're not playing church. It's not a club. When it came on, it said Trinity Baptist Church. Didn't say Moose Lodge. Didn't say Elk Lodge. Lions Club. Didn't say, you know what this is? This is a church. You know what we're here for? We're here this morning to come clean. Come clean so we can serve. Come clean so we can do something for God. I want to say, first of all, this morning, let me give you a few thoughts here. First of all, I want to say, come clean with God about your sin. Come clean with God about your sin. Remember we read a while ago in Proverbs chapter 16 that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, because we think we're pretty good people. We think that because we don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, that we're pretty good people. I have had time from time to time in my life moved into different places, and I remember one particular place that we moved in. This was years and years ago. We got in the house, and it was a rental home, and we got there, and we had leased this place, and so we were getting ready to move in, and my wife wanted to go in and, you know, kind of in the cabinets, you know, how you put the little paper and stuff down the cabinet. So we got ready to do that. We went in the cabinets and opened up the cabinets, and we saw little things running around. And then we opened the bottom cabinets, and they were down there too. Then we went in the closets. They were in there too. You say, what were they? I think they call them roaches. Now, the thing about it is, listen now, because the homeowner didn't exterminate the home, it was an infestation of roaches. Now, the thing about it is, if he'd called an exterminator out and done what he was supposed to, they'd have been gone by the time I moved in. But the thing about it is, I had to call him up, and I said, hey, look, man, we're infested with roaches. They're everywhere. I can't have this. My wife wasn't moving in. That'd be tough. So there was an infestation. And so we had to call the exterminator. He had come out and spray, and it delayed the process of moving in. What I'm saying to you this morning, we're going to come clean with God about our sin. What I want you to do is I want you to open the cabinets up of your heart this morning, and I want you to look in, because I think a lot of us this morning got some roaches in the cabinets this morning. And the thing about it is, you've done everything. Now listen, I could have sat there with a cloth or something, squashed as many as I could. But you know what? That wasn't going to do the job. I could have stepped on as many as I could. That wasn't going to do the job. Because you know what? They weren't just in the cabinets, my friend. They were in the walls. What I'm saying to you this morning is, we've got to understand, the Scripture says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, we're here today. We just don't want to fess up that there's some secrets going on in our life. We don't want to fess up that there's some private matters that are going on in our own life. What I want you to do this morning, I want you to open your cabinets up. Open the cabinets up and look. You know what you might find? You might find there's some things crawling around in there that are going to need to be exterminated. I want to say, first of all, that there has to be an acknowledgement of sin. There has to be an acknowledgement of sin. Now, I've been in this thing too long, folks. I know through counseling that if a person won't acknowledge they got a problem, you can't help them. If they won't acknowledge they're an alcoholic, can't help them. If they won't acknowledge that they're a drug abuser, can't help them. If they won't acknowledge that they're mixed up in some kind of immorality, you can't help them. There's no help unless they acknowledge there's a problem. And can I say this morning, as much as I want you to come clean, I can't help you. I can't help you if you don't acknowledge it first. If you don't acknowledge that there's some roaches in the cabinets this morning. You see, what are you doing right now that your conscience is telling you is wrong and contrary to this book? You see, if you're a child of God this morning, while I'm preaching, that still small voice is speaking to you this morning. And that still small voice is acknowledging there's some roaches in the cabinets. We say, well, you know what? I know there are, but I just really can't afford to call an exterminator out here and get them taken care of. You better, or they're going to run you out of the house. You better do something. I'm saying this morning that there has to be an acknowledgement. I want to say also, if we're going to come clean with God about sin, not only is there going to have to be an acknowledgement, but let me say something. There's some effects of sin as well. There's some effects of sin. James 1:5 says this, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Bringeth forth death. Sin has its effects. Sin breaks homes and marriages. Sin destroys children. Sin makes people's lives miserable. Sometimes through physical pain and problems. Sin is a controlling substance in the life of an individual. You see, there's going to have to be some acknowledgement. Then there's going to have to be understanding that there's some effects. There's some effects of sin in our life. You know, I visit quite often people. As a matter of fact, I visited just the other day with an individual that's going through a lot of problems. Had a rough life, got a lot of vices in life. And if I've heard this word once, I've heard it 1,000 times in ministry. I said, preacher, I'm miserable. I'm miserable. And I said, well, listen, why don't you let me try to get you some help? Do this, do this, do this, do this. And I began to try to get them help. I called and I began to give them numbers of people to call. I said, look, I'm not a professional counselor, but here's somebody that can help you. They said, oh, preacher, would you do that? And I'll do that and give them the information. About 2 or 3 weeks later, I'll call the people that I gave them the information about. I said, listen, has this person called you? No. So I go back by and I find out, hey, listen, what's going on? You wanted help and I gave it to you. Well, I just decided I didn't want to call them. Can't help anybody that won't acknowledge sin, doesn't understand the effects of sin. But I'm here to tell you, you know, there is an answer for sin. You've got to acknowledge it, understand those effects, but there is an answer. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Oh, wait a minute, listen now, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, there is an answer. You see, some people think, oh my goodness, preacher, there's no answer. All I'm saying this morning, listen to me, you just need an exterminator. You just need somebody to spray the cabinets and get rid of the roaches. Because if you don't, I found out these roaches lay eggs and soon you're going to be totally infested. Sin produces sin. Sin continues on and on and on, and it gets larger and larger and larger. I said, first of all, this morning, we're just going to have to flat out come clean with God about our sin. If you're a child of God this morning and you're harboring secret sins in your life, you need to come clean this morning. You're going to pay for those. There's a price to be paid for the secret life. There's a price to be paid for not coming unclean. Hey, I gave you a whole list of people in the Bible. We could have gone on. That was just a short list. I want to say number two. We're going to have to come clean with God about where we stand. We're going to have to come clean with God about where we stand. Would you take your Bible and go to Revelation 3 for a moment? Go to Revelation chapter 3. Here God addresses a church. In Revelation chapter 3, and verse number 16. This church had its problems. These people had their problems. But I want to, for sake of time, look at verse 15. God says, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot or cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Look at verse 16. So then because thou art lukewarm, stop. That's neither cold nor hot, right? That sounds to me like that this church decided, we're not going to come clean. So they stayed in the middle. He says, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, listen to what the Lord said. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know what the Lord said? The Lord's saying, listen, either come clean or not. Because if you come clean, there's a blessing. If you don't come clean, I spew you out of my mouth. You see, come clean with God about where you stand. You know, lukewarmness is nothing but a lack of faith. And listen, you know, people get afraid. I understand that. They get afraid in their Christian life. But you listen to me. Fear feeds on the potential of failure. You hear me? Fear feeds on the potential of failure. You know why a lot of times people are afraid to step out for God? Because they're afraid of the potential of failing. But let me tell you something, my dear friend. Thank God that we've got some people in history that weren't afraid to fail. Did you know that there are good men in history that weren't afraid to fail? And because they weren't afraid to fail, we've got electricity today? Huh? Because they weren't afraid to fail, we've got cell phones today? Because they weren't afraid of failure. But may I say, just as fear feeds on the potential of failure, faith feeds on the facts of God. I want to ask you, is where you stand right now, is it firm on the Word of God? Is where you're standing right now, I didn't say where you stood yesterday. I said where you're standing right now, is it based and firm on the Word of God? Is it biblically based or self-motivating? Is it principled and ethical where you stand right now? Let me ask you another question. Would Jesus stand where you stand right now? Would Jesus stand where you stand right now? You say, oh no, he wouldn't stand where I said, then you better move. Because you know what? The ice is fixing to break. You're fixing to go down. So I just want to ask you, would Jesus stand where you stand? And is where you stand firm on the Word of God? Let me ask you this. Do you believe that where you stand will support others? I remember as a kid, we used to take boards as boys, and my sisters didn't, but we used to span long distances with boards. And I remember one time that we found a board that we had back out in the shed. It was a 1x12. Now the thing about it is a 1x12 this long can hold some decent weight. But I found out that, and of course I was a kid, so I didn't have enough sense to put in a thimble. But I found out the longer the length, the less weight it held. So my brothers and I had this great idea. So we wanted to build a bridge. You know, guys are into bridge building. And so we built a bridge. We used a 1x12. And it was quite a span. I'm going to guess it was probably 10, 12 feet across there. And so my little brother walked across. He was just a little bitty thing. And he walked across there. And I saw it begin to bow as he got toward the middle. And so he got out there. And I saw him walk out there. And then he says, hey, it's okay. And so he walked on across. I thought, well, he did it, I can do it. I was probably 8, 9 years old. And so I said it didn't break on him, so it's not going to break on me. So I began to walk out there, and sure enough, it bent right about the same place. The problem was I was about 20 pounds heavier than he was, and I got out there in the middle, and I heard, I thought, this isn't good. Now, the problem is if you've ever built a bridge and you've gone out there, now, When it spanned this distance, I got out in the middle and it bowed like this. So I was going downhill, now I'm going uphill. And I heard it begin to crack and I thought, man, I got to get over there. And I had no more. Taking a step, that thing cracked in half and down I went. You say, why? Because where he stood wouldn't support me. But let me tell you something. If you're standing on a firm foundation, you can bring people over there where you are. You can bring people over there and stand where you are. It's not going to break. Not if it's on this book right here. I said we got to come clean with God about our sin. We got to come clean with God about where we stand. Next, we got to come clean with God about our stewardship. Do you know everybody in here is a steward? Everybody is. God has given you abilities. God has given you possessions. God has given you time. I just want to ask you, have you come clean with God about your stewardship? You said, no, I'm not coming clean with God about my stewardship. You will one day. I've just found out, you know what, it might be better if I go ahead and do it right now. Because one of these days I'm going to stand before a thrice holy God and I will give an account then. I will give an account of my stewardship. You see, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He didn't say it was a suggestion. He said it's required of God. I just want to ask you, have you come clean about your possessions and property, about things, about money? Let me tell you something, folks. I made a decision a long time ago, money ain't going to rule me. Pardon my Mississippi vernacular, but it's not. It's not. Hey, may I say something to you, that money is a poor controller and it is a poor master. Poor master, but it's a great servant. Great servant. Too many of God's people are being mastered by money. Say, preacher, I'm sorry, I can't give anything to God. Is that right? Can I follow you to the grocery store next time? Now, all those cookies and things we could probably all do without? No, we do what we want to do. You see, we just got to come clean about our stewardship. Let's just be honest. It's church, right? This ain't the Moose Lodge. I said this about the Moose Lodge, right? So we've already said it's not the Moose Lodge, not the Elk Lodge, not the Lions Club. This is Church of God. So guess what? We can come clean about our stewardship and admit that we're flat out wrong about our property in some of the areas and things and money. How about your time? How much time do you give the Lord compared to yourself, to your pleasures, to your friends, to your job? Listen, I'm not against giving time to self and to time to some family time and friends and job. But you know what we got to do? We got to be balanced. There's to be a balance. We got to come clean and be balanced. What about your abilities? What about your knowledge and wisdom? Hey, listen, what about your professional training? Have you given anything back to the Lord in the area of your professional training that might promote the kingdom of God instead of what's important to you right now? Under the sound of my voice, there's probably business people in here. There's probably educated people in here. There's probably people from all walks of life. Have you taken your professional training and tried to further the kingdom of God in any way with it? Instead of just what's right and what's proper in your own eyes? I said we need to come clean about our stewardship. Let me give you one more. Take your Bible, go to Luke 12. I'm going to finish right here. We need to come clean with God about our soul. Look, if you would, Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke 12 and verse number 16. Luke 12, verse number 16. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth, how much? Plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say, listen now, to my soul. And listen now, he addresses his soul. You know what it tells me? It tells me that he had control over its destiny. And he said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now that was his analysis of his soul. He said, soul, take thine ease. But listen to verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy, look at it now, soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Let me mention this and I'm done. You only have one soul. You only have one. And it's precious to God. Can I say next, if you lose your soul, it's lost forever. If you lose it, it's lost forever. Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you lose it, it's lost forever. But can I say, if you give your soul to Jesus this morning, it's secure forever. It's secure forever. John 17:12, Jesus praying said this, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. Listen now. And none of them is lost. None of them is lost. I just want to say, have some of you in this room this morning been living a lie? Have some of you really fooled yourself into thinking, well, preacher, I'm saved, but you've never had a head-on collision or an encounter with the Holy Ghost of God? You see, Jesus wants to save. There's still, this morning, while I'm speaking, there's a still small voice that's speaking to you this morning. And you know what it's saying? Come clean with God. Come clean about your sin. Come clean about where you stand. Come clean about your stewardship. And to some this morning that know not Christ, he said, come clean about your soul. Come clean with your soul. He said, preacher, I'm a member of this church. I don't give a flip whether you're a member of this church or not. If you're without Christ, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't come clean. He said, but preacher, I give an offering and a tithe to this church. I don't care. You die without Christ and don't come clean. It's an eternity without God. It doesn't have to do with things. It has to do with coming clean with God. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say this morning, preacher, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian, no question about it. I'm saved and happy about it. I don't want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it, preacher. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Wonderful, wonderful. All over the auditorium. God bless you. Father, I ask you this morning, please have thine own way in this invitation. Father, would you move in such a way that the power of God would be evident and felt among the people of God today? And Father, there were some that could not raise their hands. Would you do something special in their heart? There were some, Father, this morning that came to church with heavy burdens because they knew that maybe there was sin or maybe there was a stand, maybe there was stewardship going on in their life that they haven't been abiding to and living by as far as a Christian life. Oh, please, Lord God, please move. Spirit of God, show yourself evident this morning. Here with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around. I noticed there were a few hands that could not be raised this morning. You say, preacher, that's me. I can't honestly say that I've been born into the family of God. I've never had an encounter with Jesus. I've never had an encounter with the Spirit of God in my life. I've never had somebody take the Bible and show me how to be born again. I want to be. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, preacher, somebody has showed me, but I really wasn't sincere. I really wasn't sincere, preacher, and I know it. And it's been bothering me for days. For some of you, months, maybe for some years. You say, preacher, I've been living a lie in my heart. I need to come clean with God about my soul. How many would say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven today. Please pray for me. Nobody's looking for me. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up right around the auditorium. God bless you and God bless you. You can slip your hands down. Who will join these two and say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Say, preacher, I'm a member here. We're not talking about membership. Say, preacher, I'm a tither and giver. I don't know, we're not talking about tithing and giver. We're talking about your soul. We're talking about your eternal destiny. Say, preacher, that's me. Slip it up. Say, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning. Say, preacher, I'm already a Christian. I've already been born into the family of God, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. Just slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. Anybody like that? Say, preacher, I've already been born again but never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. God bless you and God bless you. Who joined these? Say, preacher, that's me. I've already had an encounter with Christ. I've already put my faith and trust in Him, but just have never been baptized after. And I know it's the right thing to do. Anybody else? Anybody else? Then let me ask you one last thing. Maybe you're a Christian this morning. Say, preacher, I need to come clean about some sin in my life. Preacher, I need to come clean about kind of where I am. I've been kind of a fence straddler in my Christian life. I need to come clean about that and get on the right side with God. You say, preacher, I've got to come clean about my stewardship. I've got some professional abilities. I've got some things, preacher, that I could offer the church. I've got some things that I could do to honor and glorify the Lord. You say, preacher, I need to come clean about those things. How many would say, pray for me, preacher. That's me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Slip them up. Slip them up. Slip them up. Slip them up. God bless you. All right, you can put your hands down. The Father, you've seen the hands that were lifted this morning, and you know the hearts of the people this morning, and you know their needs. And Father, I pray that we all, from this preacher to the pew, would come clean about areas of our life that we need to address. Areas of our life, Lord, that we need to bring into focus. Some this morning raised their hand and said they did not know Jesus. Please, Lord God, don't let them leave this morning. Please don't let them leave without knowing Christ as Savior. They'd come this morning and come clean about it. Some this morning raised their hand as children of God, said they've already been saved, never been baptized. Lord, let them come clean about that this morning and do right. Some this morning raised their hand about sin that they've been battling in life and about their stand, and maybe they've been a fence straddler. Maybe they've been lukewarm in their Christian life. Maybe some have battled with their stewardship. Lord God, whatever the need is of your people that raised their hand, that they would come this morning and settle it. Come clean with you this morning before we face the world this afternoon. Have your will and way. Move, Spirit of God, I pray. For it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we ask it. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to stand with me. I'm going to ask the instrument to begin to play, our song leader to begin to sing. And as he does, you come. Listen, are we going to get clean with God this morning or not? You say, preacher, I'll do it tonight. You may not live to tonight. You say, preacher, I'll do it the next service. You may not make it to the next service. Would you come this morning? You say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. This is your time to move. Come on, come on, come on. We want you to be saved. We want you to come to the Lord. We want you to know truth. You come this morning. Maybe you're a child of God and you'd say, preacher, there's some things going on in my life. I need to come clean about sin. I need to come clean about my lukewarmness. I need to come clean about some areas of my stewardship. Come on, folks. This is it. This is it. This is it. You come ahead. Come on. Come on. Whatever your need is, you come. You come. This is your opportunity. Don't delay. Don't delay. Sing it through again. Sing it through again. Hey, listen, I know. I know. There were too many hands. A lot of people. A lot of people.